recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you, right, Drew?
I do indeed.
How you feeling, champ?
I'm good.
Looking good.
I was just thinking, we never talk about, or we haven't in a long time, sort of good television.
Mm-hmm.
You notice that? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of good television right now.
Oh, yeah.
And we never really kind of chat about that.
Well, there's so much out there. And again, continuing a theme from Wednesday's show, which is you create competition.
Yeah.
And boy, do we. I mean, we had three networks for a long time, and that's Dukes of Hazzard and Heart to Heart and Fantasy Island and Love Boat, like a lot of bad stuff. And now, you know, there was the networks, of course, and then there was the cable, and now it's Hulu and Netflix, and it's like, look out, world.
It's game on.
It's game on for anyone who wants content, because there's so many players and so much competition, and so it's just... It's a weird thing because you look no further than the NFL or look no further than Formula One. All these teams all trying to shave precious tenths, hundreds of seconds off the thing. Look no further than the Winter Olympics, where people, they don't win by 2 seconds. They win by 200ths of a second or thousandth of a second. You know, that's what this breeds, this. And you get away. Oh. Yeah, the bobsled gold was a tie to the 100th.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So here's me point.
I think it was the 1,000th, wasn't it?
It said the 100th.
The 100th, okay, Bible. Okay, got it.
But that's what you get.
Yeah,
and guess who wins? Everyone watching the bobsled race, or everyone who wants to laugh, or everyone who wants to cry, and everyone who has a mobile device. Like, that's who the winner. That's who the winner is. You take electric cars.
Yeah.
Chevy's doing a great electric car now.
Yeah.
Because they got to beat Elon and company and Ford and whatever Fiat's doing. I mean, how good do you think the Chevy electric car would be in a vacuum where they had the market cornered for electric cars?
Hey,
it would take 3 days to charge.
I saw the 70s General Motors vehicles before Japan stepped in.
Right.
I saw it.
Yeah, you had cars like the Matador.
And the Granada.
And the Granada was better than the Gremlin. The
Pacer.
Yes.
The Gremlin.
There was a great...
Well, hell, you had whole shitty car companies, AMC.
Yes, there was a great Ford Granada, which came out late 70s, early 80s. Their whole campaign was about people mistaking it for a Mercedes. And now Gary's got to look for the Ford Granada 75 to 82.
And if you look like a Mercedes, it felt like cardboard.
It didn't look like a Mercedes, which is
not
a weird thing. And it was like, I remember as a 15-year-old thinking like a couple things. Like, first off, why are you invoking another car company that's better than you? Like,
by a long margin.
I know, but why are we bringing them up? And I guess you go, well, they're more expensive and so they're European or whatever it was. But so the thing that was funny is they would go like, oh, the valet would come out and he'd go, you know, I have the Ford Granada, and you go, the Mercedes, you mean? Like, it was like, and I remember like kind of looking at the car and then looking at the, and going, they both have four wheels. Do you have the commercial?
Baby. Introducing a new 1978 Ford Granada, the ESS. Can you tell it from this impressive $20,000 Mercedes 280 SE? Granada.
No, impossible.
Mercedes.
Impossible.
Hold on. Granada. Except for many of the exterior features.
Except everything.
And now we're going interior and then many of the interior features. But other than that, hey, can you tell the, can you tell the difference?
Hey, Adam, can you tell the difference between Gary and Matt? Can you tell the difference? The same guy.
They share. They have noses and eyes and hair.
Same.
And pubes.
Wearing, both wearing glasses. I told you. Same.
Yeah. And then there's Heidi Klum and my mom. You've not reason you're not seeing him in the same room is because it seems like it's one person. Yeah, you gotta go back to that. This is like this whole thing. Like I would be 13 looking at things, going, "What the fuck is going
What's
on?
What's wrong with the 70s? It was the worst decade ever." Please,
I'm sorry, go ahead. That, but now we're looking at a Ford Granada, and which looks nothing like a Mercedes.
And
which
you can't appreciate that what looks like a metal grill is plastic. Everything's plastic.
Right. Yeah. There was a time some guy figured out, like in 1974. Some guy like burst into the room at Chrysler and GM and Ford and Lincoln Mercury and everything. He slid. He did the move where he slid around the thing. Yeah. He slid and he went, "Gentlemen, I've invented a modality for chroming plastic." Yeah. And they all went, "Eureka." Now every headlight bezel, every grill, everything that was formerly metal.
Yeah.
Plastic with chrome on it, which always means if you tighten the screw down too much, it cracks.
Yep. It flips off.
Sorry. Now, Drew, I want you to take your headphones off and tell me if you can tell the difference between the Ford and the Mercedes.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
New 1978 Ford Granada, the ESS. Can you tell it from this impressive $20,000 Mercedes 280 SE?
Hold on. Is that a different
Granada.
Car?
Mercedes.
No. I can't tell. What's
Granada.
Happening? Mercedes. Oh, the interior is the same.
Granada. They did rip off the interior.
Mercedes, the new Ford Granada ESS. See how close you can come to the look of a $20,000 Mercedes at the price of a Granada. When America needs a better idea, Ford puts it on wheels.
But there's another one that's like it, too. I found. But just because the dimensions are the same doesn't mean the engine and the running gear and all the brakes and suspension and the leather inside, like everything, everything.
It makes my skin crawl. I remember that decade. Where's
the detail, though, Drew? How come you never remember the detail, like the Ace Man?
Like that kind of detail?
Yeah. You told me Ford Granada, and I told you what their campaign was.
No, I wouldn't. I don't remember ever having seen that.
You've
when was that?
How is it that I've seen everything and you saw nothing?
Wait.
1978.
Well, it's 70.
I was on an airplane.
No, I was in college then.
I was on an airplane inside of college.
I didn't have a TV.
All right. You say that every single thing I talked to you about. Well, I was working.
I literally didn't see these things.
You saw them. You don't have the mind of a comedian, so it didn't register. Maybe. That's what I'm saying to you. I have the mind of a comedian.
Size of a comedian.
Even so, I was 13, and it made me think comedic thoughts that nobody cared to hear. But let's see the next one, sir. They just got married.
I don't go with married women.
What are you doing? You like Granada?
Granada? This is my Mercedes. Oh, God, King Gans, my Cadillac. That's the Granada.
Alone at last, beloved.
Beloved?
Where's my bride?
You got that Mercedes with another man.
Another man?
Smoking a cigar and doing
Cadillac.
He just, and he also did his Groucho Marx move with a cigar. Yeah. $4,300. Sounds cheap, but a princely sum to the Corollas back then.
Shown with optional deluxe bumper group, $70.
It was.
They literally built an entire campaign around this car will be mistaken for a better car that you wish you could afford.
I think it's time I chime in with better cars.
We were insane, right? It's insane.
This is what they didn't have. They didn't have true car.
Oh, they needed
MSRP. You might not know what that stands for, but what does it really mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. All very confusing and intended to be so. All this crap started probably around 1978.
That's right.
Now you have true price from true car. You live in a better era. Be grateful. You'll know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. You know your true price is a great price because True Car shows you what other people paid for the car you want. So you know you're locking in a competitive price. And True Car certified dealers set the true price competitively because they want to win your business.
These
dealers are fighting it out a little bit. So not only are you getting a scattergram so you know what you got, they are going to set a competitive price that is attractive to you, including fees and accessories. You know what it is, and you know there's a precise vehicle that's represented by that price. So you'll be confident when you show up to the True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy new or used, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Also, if you buy the premise of that last Granada commercial,
no, thank you.
There were just a couple of single dudes just sitting in their Cadillac and Mercedes on the lawn of the church, like smoking a cigar.
That she didn't know at her wedding.
She didn't know at her wedding. I'm not sure why they were backed up onto the lawn. Like, maybe they had some church business to tend to later, but why would you back your car up to the church lawn out front of the chapel right after the marriage ceremony?
I don't know if you noticed, but one dude was sitting in the passenger seat and one was sitting in the driver's seat, which I found odd.
Oh, yeah. He jumped into the the guy in the Mercedes was, and of course, she had to dive in and go, alone at last, my love. We shall make love right here. Like, that's awesome, right?
Oh, horrible.
All right.
It is.
You love it.
Terrible.
Yep. Thomas, 36, Albany.
Hey, Stru. How's it going, man?
Hey, now.
What's going on?
Hey, so I just wanted to ask Dr. Drew. I was recently at my doctor's because I was having erectile dysfunction issues with a girl that I was dating. I hadn't, just because of some depression and stuff, I hadn't really been dating anybody the past couple of years. So I started dating somebody, things were going pretty well, and couldn't get full mast when I needed to.
Are you on a medication?
No, I'm pretty much off every medication, vitamins and stuff. But the doctor said it was all psychological because I wasn't really seeing anybody. I was dipping a little bit into the...
Throw it away? I'll throw it away. Drew's throwing away his cheese wrap.
Oh, gotcha.
He's not paying attention to you. Because once we stop the show, there is no cleaning up of wrappers.
No, that's
the rule I have in the studio. When the show ends, you cannot throw away cheese wrappers. There's no throwing away soda cans. That's
impossible.
The show ends, so does the work around here. That's right. All right.
So you said no vitamins, no supplements?
No, I take is just regular over the counter vitamins and a probiotic for my stomach.
All right. So you got had some erectile dysfunction and?
And so I went to see if it was something with like testosterone levels or something else, and the doctor didn't think it was that. He said it was all psychological.
Yeah.
That's why I was using porn at any time, and once every couple of weeks or something, but that's probably about it. But he said that he thinks there's something called porn-induced erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, but usually that's people that are really sort of depleting their chi, you know what I'm saying?
That's not once every couple of weeks.
No, that's every couple of hours. And those guys also, if you're you get preoccupied with the images, and then there is a version of it happens in younger males than you where reality doesn't quite measure up. You know what I mean?
And there's also a thing, which is if you kind of get used to your own.
You've said it many times, Adam.
You can get used to your own hand.
As you said, sex is good. It's just not the real thing.
That's my thing. That's what I've said. And I'm saying you put in a good couple years of having at it at your own hand, and then you get with a woman. It seems foreign. But that's supposed to happen when you're 16 and a half, not 36. Like, so you should be able to transit. Yeah. You should have transitioned out of that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is – my feeling with the erectile difficulty is many things, which is like you're like Wile E. Coyote. You go off the cliff, everything's fine, you're running, and then you look down.
Yeah,
and when you look down, that's when you have to do that umbrella that says help on it or whatever, and you go, that's when you fall. So it's like the moment this notion never crosses my mind. Like, oh, I'm going to have erectile difficulty. But I'm sure if I started thinking about it, it would affect me in a negative way. So now, of course, the question is, well, how can you tell someone, just don't think about this if it's on their mind?
Well, and now you have these PDE5 inhibitors. You can take a medicine that sort of regains your chi, your confidence.
That's I swear if it was a sugar pill, it would work. Yeah. And I would say just eat one, take one of those, get yourself taken care of, and then you probably won't need to rely on them.
Lose some weight, start doing some weightlifting, that'll bring your testosterone levels up. And if you keep having trouble, you ought to see a urologist.
No, I'll do that. What did you say that was? It's not like Viagra or something. What did you say it was called?
PDE5. That's Viagra, all those drugs.
Oh okay. So it's one of those kind of things. Yeah. Okay. All right, cool.
You'll be fine. All right,
thanks, guys.
Do you need a whole one of those?
No. Well, they come in, I think, 25, I know they come 50 and 100. And so you can take a low dose or half of a low dose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Chris, 32 Tampa. Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, Drew, got a question for you, man. When I was younger, probably 18 to 25, I would say, I probably did ecstasy maybe about 20 times in about that 7-year span.
Did you have any did you take a lot at any time?
I'm sorry?
Did you take a lot, any of those episodes? Big dose?
I don't really know what a big dose is, 2 or 3 pills.
So was there one time you took it, you got really high on it, or more than one time?
Yes, I have multiple times.
All right,
yes.
So there's a few times you took large amounts.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that was my question. Go ahead.
Okay. So going forward now from 25 to 32 now, I wouldn't say it's depression, but I'm just not as, I guess, happy as I would. Obviously, it floods your brain with serotonin, and now I still might, you know, it might be lower, but I was talking to my doctor, and he was talking about an SSRI, and I'm just wondering if that would kind of help with the situation. I don't really feel depressed, but I'm just not as happy as I was before.
Do you have any anxiety?
Minimal, but yes.
No, any panic attacks?
I have had one before.
How long ago?
I'd probably say it was 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, and any memory problems? Have you noticed your memory getting a little worse in any way?
No, not that I can recall.
Okay.
And I was
can't remember.
All right, well, that also does sound like it could be MDMA, The SSRIs are not necessarily the first choice. I mean, sometimes we'll use the adrenergic systems, you know, the Wellbutrin, things like that, or a combo, something like Effexor. Those tend to work a little better. But SSRI might work. It might. But it's something like this definitely sounds like it's warranted. Definitely.
Okay.
You hurt yourself. You hurt yourself. You damage cells. That's how the drug gets the serotonin at such high concentrations. It causes something called excitotoxicity, and the cells become unable to make their vesicles that produce that they repackage the serotonin in, and it damages the cells. The serotonin then gets free in the cytoplasm. It turns into a free radical and kills the cells.
Are you a real doctor or just a love doctor?
Yeah, I mean, he was saying that, you know, he was talking more SSRI than
NRI. All right, we'll try that. You could try that.
Yeah. You know, this is part of the other thing that we did with drugs, which is we tried to vilify them to such a great extent that the other side pushed back and turned them into heroes.
Yeah.
And they're just things that are bad for you.
Yeah, they're just medicine, chemicals that humans have relationship with.
And
that causes
not as bad as the producers of Reefer Madness would like you to believe, but not nothing and good vibes like my mom would like you to believe. So they just are what they are.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
They affect different people differently.
That's right. And genetics. We always have to graft on something. It's weird that we're doing this in 2018.
I agree.
We're grafting on something evil or something good or something heroic or something angry to everything. It doesn't matter. It could be a policy. It could be a gun. It could be a drug. It could be a parent. It's a way we graft on something to everything, and it's a weird thing to me. I mean, it's very superstitious native and not so much 2018 living in California like I'd like it to be, which is weird.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a progress.
Speaking of progress, we started by talking about good TV, and you didn't tell me what your fascinated with these days.
I don't do a lot of so here's my regimen. I watch Jimmy because I like Jimmy.
Okay.
I watch Tucker Carlson, and then I watch Rachel Maddow just to kind of find they're in my TV, they're right next to each other. Mm-hmm. They're 360 and 359, I think. I think they're both really good at delivering what they do. And I like to go, okay, let's hear her angle and let's hear his, or vice versa. It doesn't really much matter. I just like to feel like you hear both sides. You can hear both sides. Get to it.
Sure.
I will watch like Curb Your Enthusiasm every 7 years when,
they
come up with 9 episodes.
You watch South Park?
No, I don't find myself watching South Park.
Drunk History?
Now, first off, I watch Crashing.
I do too.
I watch.
That's one of the ones I was going to mention.
Judd Apatow just sent me his 2-parter on Gary Shandling that I started watching, documentary on his life. I don't know when it's supposed to come out.
When's that kid Judd going to get off his ass and do a little work?
Yeah, I know. On HBO. But
Crashing is his show too.
Yeah, I know. I walked out of the movie theater a couple Saturdays ago, and I just had this short message from him saying, "Did I send you the Gary doc? And what do you got going?" And I said, "I got my Willie T doc. I'm finishing." And no, I didn't get the Gary doc. And then he sent me the 2-parter. Mm. So I found myself watching that last night.
Schitt's Creek. Anybody watch Schitt's Creek?
I hear it's really good.
It's so good. Gary, come on.
I hear...
Yeah, it's excellent.
It's ridiculous.
No. So for me, you also understand it. Other than that, it's cars, MMA, and like building. So I watched the Grand Tour, which was...
Cars.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Right.
Used to be...
Top Gear, sorry. I watched Top Gear. I watched, Leno's Garage. You know, I like cars so much, and I like building so much, and I like MMA so much that I can stay busy just watching car related whatever. But it's kind of funny. Top Gear. Hold on, Drew. Top Gear. I'll give you a very good example. It'll reverberate. You'll dig it. Most car shows are done by production companies with the guys that really don't know anything. They're not car guys.
Yeah.
So when you watch the Grand Tour, it is just beginning to end crafted by guys who love cars, right? And I'll give you a very concrete example.
Ready.
And even within my own house here, which drives me nuts, which is this. When you watch other car shows and they're going, well, we went down to the Palmer Concourse de Elegance and we looked at these cars, and they do that sort of montage of like, hey, this car's over here and that car's over there.
It's like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Yeah,
cars. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I got it.
Yeah.
But they just pick random, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang steam cars and stuff like that. And you'll see something really cool, like in the distance, or a fender of what you know is a Ferrari GTO 250 or something. But meanwhile, they're showing the thing with wagon wheels. And it's like, because they gave it to an editor who didn't know anything about cars, and they just put together this montage, and it sucks. It sucks every time. It's insane. And we even did it here, and I had to yell at everybody, which is, we go to these events, you're around the coolest cars in the world. Don't weave in the stupid Chitty Chitty Bang Bang cars with the wooden wheels and the spokes.
Like, but those are cool too.
No, they don't even think that way. They're just like, look, we got to do a montage with old cars.
Yeah.
And they miss out on the good stuff.
Yeah.
And I realize they don't know what they're doing.
Listen, I deal with this with medical stories and things. Oh my God, it drives me crazy.
But it's not as dramatically, and it doesn't affect Americans as much as these bad cars.
Yeah.
And what you realize when you watch Grand Tour is like, there's nobody who works here that's that way. Their editors are car nuts. Their producers are car nuts. The hosts are car nuts. And what you get is a show that is satisfying to car people. All the other ones just feel like, what are you spending 10 minutes talking about that car for? That's a piece of shit. Like, why do we care about that? Nobody does a car show really right.
Spike Ferenstein, does he have a car show too now?
Oh, yeah. Spike does. Well, Spike does. I like Spike. And I like Leno. But when you watch Grand Tour, it's it's a cut above. It's just a different beast, and it's because they care. And mostly, I've done car shows with production companies who didn't care about cars.
Well, but here's the problem. They know about cars. It's a show about cars. It should be run by people that like and know about cars. And what people don't understand, lots of television produced by people who don't know what they're talking about. A lot.
Yeah. Well, that's and really don't care. All right. So, Drew, what are you watching?
Schitt's Creek, Crashing, Ozarks. You see that?
The Ozarks?
Yeah. You didn't see Ozarks?
No. I also watch like anything on World War II or something like that.
Am I looking at blank Ozark? Ozark?
No, I watched
Great.
I really enjoyed it. I thought the ending was a bit of a letdown, but they're setting up for next season.
Yeah, that's all.
So I'll be tuning in.
Oh, yeah.
That's on Netflix, Ace. That's Jason Bateman. It's a kind of a thriller type
thing. About money laundering. And
I like Jason Bateman. And
you will love this. Oh, I watched
Billions.
Is the best show on TV.
I love Billions.
I've been in on Billions since day one.
Me too.
I love that show.
I like Billions. Will Arnett's show about Venice was quite good. What was it called? Look it up.
Well, look, here's the point. There are too many shows.
I know.
And they're so good that we have this kind of embarrassment of riches.
Yeah.
And it's actually a problem, which is, you know, when I was a kid, it's like, when is MASH and All in the Family going to come on? Because we have to wade through wade through all these other horrible shows to get to MASH and All in the Family. And now it's like, you just named eight shows that I would love to watch.
Love was good. Did you see Love, that show, that Netflix show?
There's a great limited miniseries, Ace. You might sort of get down with this because it's so limited. it's about Waco.
Oh, yeah. I know that stuff's good. It's all good. It's all good now. That's the point now. Yeah. There's only so much time. And oh, my son, Sonny, loves Sherlock. And they love...
They love
Riverdale, and there's so much good. Stranger Things, there's just so much good. And we had like Sigmund and the Sea Monster, and Wonderama with Bob McAllister. We had nothing to watch. I just found myself just watching Lidsville. Going,
I wonder if social media will have a similar sort of evolution. Where kids, you know, 50 years, 30 years from now will go, oh, yeah, with social media, we just sit and stare at other people's stupid comments. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where there'll be something richer grown out of it someday. Because back then, when there was grave concern about the ills that television was doing to young people, I think a lot of it was the content just sucked, right?
Well, it used to be called the boob tube and the idiot box, and it's not anymore, because if you are writing and acting and producing and executing Sherlock – you ain't dumb. That's for damn sure.
No, they didn't call movies dumb.
No.
And these are better than a lot of the movies from that era.
Oh, yes, they is. Huh. All right.
You calling Billy Jack, calling that into question? Can you imagine watching that now?
You got to watch Billy Jack just to
believe it.
Just to believe it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Every 13-year-old in the nation was dying to see it.
But you know, we're not that
dying.
We haven't come very far.
What? Well,
in Billy Jack, like you look at the general theme of Billy Jack, and it's like at some point the kids, the Indian kids, like white kids, black kids, and like Indian kids, Native American, they were going to come down from their school up on the hill, like their free range school, and they're going to go into town to get everyone ice cream. And it's like, you know, it's 1972. And they come walking into the ice cream parlor, and there's a guy who owns the ice cream parlor, and he's like standing behind the counter, and he's like, we don't serve your kind here. And everyone's looking, but we just like some ice cream, sir. We don't want any trouble. Well, you found it. And I was like, that's not a great way to run a business. You know, in terms of if you're looking to just make money from selling ice cream, there's a 9-year-old Indian girl and you're going to take a snow cone and smash it on her head because she wanted to give you money. And I remember my mom watching that going,
again.
You see how we – no, not again. Yeah. That's how we are.
Yeah.
Now it's 2018, and there's a lot of people live in the city I live in who believe that's what we do.
See Black Panther?
Yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah, I saw it.
You like it?
Yeah.
It's great, right?
It's good. It's not 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's affirmative action, but it's good. Yes.
But the opposite of what this trope is you're talking about.
Yeah.
This felt like it brought everybody into the tent rather than kicking people out.
Yeah, it certainly did. Yeah. All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com, find out where all the live shows. And there's live shows everywhere, man. Santa Ana, Seattle, Oxnard, and Carolla drinks and all that good stuff. Drew?
I go to doctor.com, check out the family pods, check out the Facebook page and YouTube. Please check them out. They're good.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.